Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the radio show with Cindy Sharp.
Cindy Sharp.
You know the girl. She's all heart.
So full of heart.
She got your back.
Yeah.
Helping you to let go of the lack.
Let go of that lack.
Yeah. That's what sharpening your spirit radio is for. Okay, sharpening your spirit radio is here to say, and show yourself and heal others starting today. It's your home. Sharpening your spirit radio is here to say, accept yourself and heal others starting today.
Okay.
Sharpening your spirit radio is here to say.
That's what we're here to say at Sharpening Your Spirit Radio Show, and that is accept yourself and heal others. That's what it's all about. It's all about self-love, connecting with spirit, and getting on with your life's mission. And what we do to support you and help you is we have a couple of different amazing shows. And one of them is called The Messenger, which is the show we have today. And we have a gentleman, Paul O'Brien, which you are going to find is going to share with you something that is going to be not only life-changing, but heart-changing for you, and help you develop a deeper, more personal transformation in your own life. And I cannot wait to invite him on. But before we do, let me remind you of a couple of other things that we do here. So we also have a show here on Sharpen Your Spirit that I do myself. I'm your host, Cindy Sharp. And as you know, we do the 15 Minutes to Thrive to Keep Your Spiritual Mission Alive. And that is a weekly show that goes over a lovely topic that helps support you and dig deep in a fast, quick way, in a heartfelt way, to help you open up yourself to whatever your healing mission is. And as you're called, I hope both of these things help you. So thank you so much for tuning in today. I have a little bit of a giggle in my voice because I'm so excited about inviting on this gentleman, because I think what you're going to do is you're going to learn something unique, something new, but something that's it's been around for decades. Let me just rephrase that. And the thing is that it's going to be what I believe is going to create a little bit of a new vision in your life. So let me share with you a little bit about Paul O'Brien. He is most famous for inventing the divination software category with his development of the I Ching program in 1989. This evolved to eventually become the world's largest astrology and divination website. And you may all know it. It's called Tarot.com. I think all of us have used Tarot.com at one point or the other, which was acquired by a large media company in 2007. He's the author of 3 books: Great Decisions, Perfect Timing, Cultivating Intuitive Intelligence, Divination, Sacred Tools, and The Visionary I Ching, a Modern Version of the Ancient Oracle. And this is what we're going to be speaking about today. Paul has been the host of the Pathways. He has his own radio show and podcast, and he also has some wonderful information on his website. And he has been doing this visionary work for over 30 years. For more information about the work that he does, you can go to www.divination.com, and that's divination.com, if you'd like to take a look while you're listening. So with no further ado, let's invite Paul on and chat a little bit about his beautiful work that he does and this amazing book and his mission here on this earth. So hello, Paul. Thank you so much for coming on the Sharpen Your Spirit show.
Hello, Cindy. Very happy to be here.
Wonderful. I'm very excited about your work. And I know, you know, I was blessed to get to talk to you, you know, before we started on this process of inviting you here. And I want to make sure that people get to know a little bit more about you. So I'd love it if you'd tell us a little bit more about yourself, and then let's talk about this beautiful I Ching work and the mission that you're on.
Okay, great. Well, I think I might start out with the story that is the central story of my newest book, Great Decisions, Perfect Timing, which is the story of a man who had a job in the software industry, which kind of goes back to me when I was in my early 20s becoming fascinated with software when nobody knew what software was. But I had a vision of software in the mid-70s of someday being able to deliver interactive experiences of a spiritual nature or of an educational nature. So I was having visions of multimedia in 1974. And I got fascinated by software because of that. I had a friend who worked at a computer center. Now, this computer would take up half my condo, but and had less power than my iPhone does today. But in any case, we would go in there late at night, and he had the keys to the place, and he was the programmer, and we'd play this game on the computer, and it just fascinated me to such an extent that somebody could write code and actually turn this machine into an interactive experience. And I've never been much of a gamer, but that was the whole promise. So I became fascinated by software. I decided to get a job there. The only thing I was qualified for was as a secretary. So I started my software career as a secretary in a computer center because I could type. And I just followed my nose and my fascination, and I learned everything I could about the industry. And before you knew it, I was a software marketing specialist and carved out a career, and I was an executive, a VP of marketing for a high-tech company in the late 80s, and I found myself turning to another source of youthful fascination for me, which was the I Ching. And I actually found myself using the I Ching, which I had been introduced to at age 19, in the workplace. And this, because the workplace there at that point was brutal. It was a company that was run by engineers. It was very high-tech, and it was just an awful place to work, but I had a high-paying job and a promising career, and so I found myself consulting the I Ching just to manage office politics. And one day I had this idea, a light bulb went off. Geez, I wish I could do this on the computer. And we had Macintoshes, and that was in 88. It was pretty early on, but we... And the Macintosh had a graphical interface, and it was pretty primitive. But my old fantasies of multimedia resurrected themselves, and I thought, geez, I sure wish I could do the I Ching on the computer. And I got so inspired by this intersection between two things that had fascinated me more than anything else in my youth. I mean, other than girls, of course. And
I love it.
This light bulb went off, and I thought, gosh, I got to try this. So I ended up spending my entire life savings, which at that point was about $50,000, to create a prototype of what was one of the very earliest multimedia titles. I mean, we still didn't have CD-ROMs for another 5 years, but I had multiple floppy disks, and it was very primitive, but it was really cute. And it was an intersection between the I Ching process of casting an I Ching reading using a keyboard and a mouse and having graphics that soothed you, you know, like a waterfall and that kind of thing, in a Japanese garden scene. And I loved it so much, Cindy, and it meant so much to me that I quit my job and became an entrepreneur out of love. And I say out of love because from a business proposal point of view, it was the dumbest business idea ever. In 1989, people who knew what the I Ching was didn't buy software. In fact, they didn't like computers. And people who bought software were all engineers and accountants who didn't know what the I Ching was and could care less. So it was just the dumbest idea ever, but I was just so fascinated by it. And I thought, well, I'm a marketing guy, and if anybody can sell it, I can. And so I just didn't really analyze it too much. I just kind of... My motto became, my friends would ask me, what are you doing? Are you crazy? what's wrong with you? And I say, well, I don't know. I say, you know, my motto is, wherever God drags me, I will follow. And I just had to do it. And so that led to, you know, 13 years of barely keeping food on the table and keeping and paying the rent and paying my few people that I had, until the internet came along, and I had a background in software in direct marketing, and so having left money for meaning, having left this secure career that was going places to do something meaningful, I was never hoping to make a lot of money, or couldn't see, you know, an exit strategy or something like that. I wanted what I called creative freedom. And what that meant to me was the ability to just make a living doing something that I cared about. Not to pay off the mortgage, not to get rich, just to make a living doing something meaningful to me. And then what happened after that was we added tarot cards to it, and we added astrology. And like you said in the intro, it became the world's largest astrology website. We provided all the horoscopes for AOL and Google, and at the time was doing a horoscope gadget and MySpace and BeliefNet. And the thing just blew the doors off when we turned it into an internet company. And we ended up with over 10 million registered members, and started to be pursued by these large media companies. And that's when I decided, oh, what would I do? You know, what if I got my number and I didn't have to work anywhere? What would I do? And I realized that I want to do nonprofit work. I want to be a philanthropist. I want to give back. So I created the Divination Foundation, and all the Divination Foundation does is create products and work that as a form of philanthropy, and so much of our stuff we give away. So that's kind of a long answer to your question, and it all started with my fascination with the I Ching from age 19. And in fact, I asked the I Ching in 1989 if I should make a software version of it, and I got the hexagram enthusiasm turning into breakthrough.
Well, so, boy, talk about a story that is about life coming full circle and following your heart, and really not even knowing where you're going to end up. But with that said, continuing on the path, because that's where your heart and was pulling you, or as you said, God was dragging you, which was a funny little thing. I absolutely love that. That's an amazing story, and I think it's a wonderful story for our show, because we, you know, support people and help people that really have that healing heart and want to live that life where they have kind of, you know, left the dollars and doing the meaningful work. And so I appreciate so much you sharing that story. You know, a couple of things that really stuck out with me is, you know, how amazing it is that, you know, in the 70s when, you know, let's get real, you know, people didn't, I can only remember myself in the 70s, which I was a teenager. I remember we were typing on typewriters in class. That's what I remember. So I don't remember anything about, you know, computers and so on and so forth, a sense that, you know, here you are seeing this vision and kind of seeing this for the future. And then taking some, you know, two things that really, gosh, you know, don't have anything to do with each other, but somehow or the other following that vision. I love that. And gosh, that's just a great story. So here's my question that I have for you. At 19, you discovered the I Ching. You know, how did you discover that?
Well, you know, this just goes to show how some of these beliefs that I recommend in the chapter 11, Belief Engineering, in my Great Decisions book, can really make a difference. One of them is everything happens for a reason, or there are no accidents. And that's known as the synchronicity principle. And when I was 19 years old, I was going to UC Berkeley and working my way through college, and I was flirting with this girl on campus, as I was wont to do in those days. And she was wanting to show me this ancient book oracle system that she had. And I wasn't really that interested in it, except for the fact that it gave me an excuse to hang out with her. So she says, here's how you do it. You know, you write down a question, and so and then you're going to toss these three coins six times. So I said, okay. And I was just kind of being a smart aleck about it, and I scribbled down something that didn't really mean anything to me, and I wasn't taking it seriously. I was kind of making fun of it. You know, I sort of had that immature male attitude that teenage boys will have, you know, that being a smart aleck is the way to impress the girls. And so I was just being, making fun of it. And so I cast the hexagram, and she looked it up in the book, and it had completely ignored my question and came back with hexagram number 4, which is entitled Youthful Folly. The student lacks respect for the teacher. I go,
ooh.
What? that's kind of interesting. Let me try that again. And so this time, my attitude was a little different. I wasn't so much making fun of it as I was testing it, and I was curious. I was more curious now. And so it's, once again, it ignored my meaningless question and came back with text that said, "Questioning the sincerity of the seeker." And I thought, oh, my God, I make fun of it, it makes fun of me. I test it, it tests me. This is really interesting. And that was the beginning of a fascination for me. And that day, well, I lost the girl, but I fell in love with the I Ching. And I started using it, and I've used it my entire adult life. And that was like about 40 years ago. So
you've had a 40-year romance with the I Ching.
Right. Yeah, I have. You know, and it's helped me so much. It's helped me because I understood it. I understood this isn't fortune-telling. This isn't predicting the future. This is reflecting. It's an energetic mirror that's reflecting a moment in time, which is now, the moment that you cast it, and it's stimulating your intuition to think outside the box. It's not about giving you answers or telling you what to do or predicting the future. So I had my intuition got it. I mean, I really grokked it, and I've gone with that. And when I started iching.com, at first it was iching.com, and then later we got tarot.com. And when I started with the I Ching software, I always took the positioning that divination in the I Ching is one of many divination systems, including tarot cards, that tarot cards are not about predicting the future or about reading somebody's mind, even though psychics and mind readers and fortune tellers use them. What it's really about is it's a way to stimulate your intuition to think outside the box around problems that logic can't handle. And so I always thought of it that way. I always positioned it in that way, which I thought was the authentic way to do it. And I've always stood up for that. And in fact, 3 weeks ago, I gave a speech in China, which is amazing that they are opening up to the I Ching because they've suppressed it for 60 years under the communists. But now they're opening up, and I gave this speech on it, and I basically told them that positioning of it and the story of how I had discovered it, and they just loved it. They were so impressed because the communists are just rabidly against fortune-telling or anything that they consider superstitious. But here was this Westerner coming and telling them, hey, I did this because it inspired me, it changed my life, it's helped me make better decisions. And that's really what it's for. And then I explained to them the synchronicity principle and the concept of archetypes that Carl Jung used to explain specifically how the I Ching worked. Carl Jung studied it for 30 years. So I explained to them how the I Ching works from Carl Jung's point of view, and they thought I was a friggin' genius. And I told them, this is Carl Jung, but in any case, they love this intersection of Western psychology and the timeless wisdom of their Taoist classic. So I think maybe its time has come. I wrote it 25 years ago, and they're just waking up to it. Somebody told me, boy, giving that speech, your timing is just perfect now, isn't it? And I go, well, yeah, but it didn't feel so perfect 10 years ago when I was worrying about going bankrupt every night. But in any case,
absolutely. I mean, how interesting is it that you know, not only this message is coming, you know, full circle to this world that is ready for this message. And I love the fact that you're sharing it. And how amazing that you got to go to China and actually share with them their own heritage and their own spiritual truth. And how wonderful. I mean, that must have just been a real light bulb moment for you.
Well, it was. It was another synchronicity, because actually they had me come over there to talk about my new book, and they flew me over there and everything. And then when I got there, I realized, here I am in the birthplace of Taoism and the I Ching itself. And I just couldn't help it. And I'm so glad that I changed my topic and they let me, because it just landed so well, and they're so ready for it. And in fact, this publisher, I got this serendipitous meeting with the only publisher in China that's authorized by the state to publish spiritual books. And it actually is an arm of the People's Republic of China. It's an arm of the state. And I met the editor-in-chief, and he really wants this because it's a non-superstitious I Ching. So I think they're going to publish it.
Wow.
And that was totally totally accidental too. So when you're doing the thing that you're supposed to do, the doors fly open. When you choose meaning in your life and you're true to yourself, because that meaning is wired in, it's wired into from who you are, not who you're trying to be or who you think you should be, but it's just based on a natural fascination of yours. When you're doing that, it's synchronicities just start to become very obvious and start to just happen a lot, all these little miracles.
And that, that really comes back to the book that you're sharing today with everybody here on the show, and that is Great Decisions, Perfect Timing, and how it's probably based, I'm assuming, on your story and how this all came together. And you know, one thing that you talk about, which you talk about with the I Ching and with this book, is it's called visionary decision making, or VDM. So can you share a little bit about, you know, how we can start using that in our own lives?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really what the book Great Decisions, Perfect Timing is all about. The subtitle is Cultivating Intuitive Intelligence. And so it's basically based on the idea that one of the biggest causes of stress in our lives is the fact that we have to make so many decisions. And in fact, we have to make quite a few big decisions, many, many more than our grandparents ever had to make. And we have to make them with some level of urgency, partially propelled by advanced technologies that create the expectation of a fast turnaround. But if you think about it, 200 years ago, you didn't have much freedom of choice about much of anything. You know, first of all, you didn't have a million products to choose from. You didn't have, you couldn't decide what you did for a living. You couldn't decide where you lived, and you couldn't even decide who you married until like the 19th century. And we didn't have as many decisions to make, but now we have too many, and it causes a lot of stress. And decision making is the highest leverage human skill there is. Nothing determines the level of your success and happiness more than the quality of the decisions that you make for yourself and for those who are dependent upon you. And you know, you'd think that as the only species that can visualize different possible outcomes to different possible choices we might make, you'd think we would be really great at this by now, this decision-making thing. But we suck. We're either too emotional or we're over-analytical. And
right.
This is the reason why we either go too far in the right brain or too far in the left brain. And this is why we pay politicians and CEOs tremendous amounts of power and money, because that's their primary function, is to make decisions. And so I'm saying, hey, you're the CEO of your own life. I don't care if you're working for Walmart. You're in charge. You are the CEO of your own life, and maybe you're deciding to sell your time to Walmart. That's okay, but you're still calling that shot. And we need to learn how to make better decisions. And if we can learn how to make the right moves at the right time, which brings us into the whole timing question, and perfect timing—that's the holy grail. Because if you can make the right moves at the right time, things get better. Even if it's a small improvement, if you start making slightly better decisions, it's like compound interest. It becomes easier to make another good decision. If you make bad decisions, it's easier to make more bad ones until you become trapped, until you become desperate and you paint yourself into a corner. So decision making is absolutely critical, and that's why I wrote the book. And one of the tools that helped me was the I Ching, but the book's not all about the I Ching. That's just one chapter. There's a chapter on how that can help for people that are inclined towards that, but it's a book about how to cultivate intuitive intelligence, because so many of these important decisions, the ones I call the visionary decisions, the life-changing decisions, like, you know, should I marry this guy or should I, you know, relocate or should I change careers or, you know, or what's the best way to handle my son who's becoming an addict or whatever. You know, it's like these are big questions that logic can't handle. We need all the help we can get. And these decisions are led by intuition, even if they're somewhat governed as they should be by logic. So that sort of hybrid of intuitive and logical decision-making functions, that's the visionary decision-making system that I describe and teach in the book Great Decisions, Perfect Timing.
Boy, it seems like what a wonderful thing to help people, because, you know, we all get stuck and we all get in that place where we're really not sure what that next step is in our life. It happens to all of us in this, you know, in this human space. So the fact that there's, you know, something out there to help us make better decisions to move our life forward in a more loving and a more passionate and a bigger way is wonderful. And, you know, one thing that I will just share is that, you know, there is a lot of things out there to you know, help us make decisions. But sometimes there's not a clarity. It's more of a futuristic thing or a psychic or a spiritual, you know what I'm talking about. It's more of that kind of futuristic thing. And to have something that's in the moment, in the now, and helping making a strategic, clear decision, how important is that for all of us?
Right. And so, you know, when it comes to things like psychics and intuitive, there's no question that some people are more intuitive than others, that they're more innately gifted that way. And the problem is that if we become dependent upon external sources for our insights, then we are not exercising our own intuition and we're not getting better at it ourselves. And so I'm sort of like trying to help people tap into their own inner psychic and cultivate their own intuitive intelligence rather than be dependent upon the intuitive intelligence of another person. And that other person might be having a bad day, or they might, you know, be highly distracted. It's really pretty hard to know. And so that's my goal, is to help people cultivate the intuitive sense. You know, for 1,000 years we've called it the sixth sense. And it is kind of like an instinct. But it's very difficult to access it when we need it most. Why is that? Because we're stressed out, because we're distracted, because we're emotional. And whenever you have strong feelings or strong emotions, your intuition is blocked by that, not to mention how it's blocked by all of the distractions that are bombarding our other five senses. There's so much noise on the line. It's like trying to download a movie when the entire building is, you know, downloading stuff. You know, it's like you have these other five senses, the visual, the auditory. These are huge. These are streaming information, and that's fine. That's what they're supposed to do. But we have to quiet down the mind if we want that little dinky intuitive antenna to be able to pick up the very fine signals that it's calibrated for. It's not designed to pick up strong signals. It's designed to pick up subtle signals, like a gut feeling or you know, there's different ways it can manifest. But so I have this kind of counterintuitive principle I call O'Brien's Law, which is the stronger the feeling, the less trustworthy it is. as a basis for decision making.
Mm.
This really surprises people because they get all passionate, they get all excited, they want to just do it now. They want to, and they don't go through a process. So what I teach in the book is this process of how to use intuition, how to bring logic to bear, and how to sort things out so that you're not under the influence of a strong emotion. You know, it's kind of like getting married when you fall in love at first sight and then just getting married. You know, that's an example of what I call, you know, when I used to hire people when I was a CEO and we had about 30 employees and I'd hire people and I'd always say, now I'm going to have you interviewed by somebody else because I suffer from what I call premature infatuation.
I love that. I love that. That's fantastic. So let's go back to this O'Brien's Law really quickly, because I think one other thing that is part of that is knowing what are the right questions to ask. And you say that there's two questions that really need to be answered. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, in any decision, but particularly a strategic decision, I call them visionary decisions. In strategic decision making, you've got two questions. You've got the what question and the when. So the what question is, what is the best next move that I can make right now? Or what is the best next move that I can make, period. And so, like, if you're playing chess, you know, you're kind of thinking a couple moves ahead, but you're always trying to be on top of what's the best next move that you could make. Now, that can change given changing circumstances, but that's the what question. Now, logic can help with that because logic can just rule things out that are totally not going to work for logical reasons. So it can provide a little bit of filtering. But still, if it's a big strategic move, and intuition can, you know, can lead that. But the when question is, and when should I make that move? That's the timing question. Well, the timing question, when it comes to strategic decisions about when to execute, when to pull the trigger, that is 100% intuitive. And that's why we need to cultivate our intuitive intelligence, or we're never going to be good at timing. And if you do cultivate your intuitive sense, and sharpen it, your timing is going to automatically improve because that's an intuitive question. See, the subtle thing about intuition is that you can't force it and you can't, like, make it happen. You can only allow it to happen by getting out of the way, getting your ego out of the way, getting your emotional reactive self out of the way, and getting all of the all of the mental noise out of the way. You got to sort of calm things down, and then you can access your intuition. That's why it's so hard, because when you have a big decision to make and you feel like, oh God, I've got to make it now. We're also type A. You know, I want to fix this. I want to fix it now. You know, and we get anxious about things and we get in a hurry, and so that we don't give things time to settle down and sleep on it. You know, there's all these tips in the book about how to do this, how to give your intuition room to move.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, one thing that you talk about, and I just want to share to the listeners today, is that, you know, you can see that Paul has, you know, a beautiful passion, not only for this work, but he obviously has a message for all of us that is important for all of us to hear on a heartfelt, loving level. And so we're going to go over a little bit today from our 30 minutes that we typically do on the Messenger Show. And I just invite you to stay with us. One thing that you talk about as we're kind of getting to the end here, Paul, is you talk about, you know, perfect timing. And, you know, when you talked about the what and the when, you know, is there really, really such a thing as perfect timing? I mean, you know, sometimes in this world, it feels like some things don't always happen at the perfect time. So tell us a little bit about what perfect timing means when it comes to this book and what you're teaching.
Well, there's the science. I call it the art and science of perfect timing. And the science of perfect timing is the synchronicity principle. And the synchronicity principle says that everything is related in the dimension of time as well as in space. And so there are certain things that like to go together in time. And so everything is happening. Everything actually is perfect timing is happening all the time. The only thing that's imperfect is our ability to be in sync with it. And that's the art part. The art of perfect timing on a personal level is learning to use your intuition to make timely decisions. In other words, to make the right move at the right time. Now, does any individual ever achieve perfection at that? Well, I doubt it. But perfect timing is actually, it's kind of a play on words because it's certainly something that we'd all aspire to. And if, once we understand that everything is unfolding perfectly according to some kind of design, then we can focus on making better decisions and making the right moves at the right time so that we can stay in sync with perfect timing. I mean, a lot of times we don't understand what the plan is. You know, you can say, well, people who believe in theistic people who think in terms of a God, they think, well, everything's unfolding perfectly according to God's plan. It's just that I don't understand it yet. And maybe I never will. Or maybe I won't understand why this thing happened for another couple months or maybe a couple years. I mean, I've had instances in my life where something that seemingly horrible happened, and I thought I was living a nightmare. I was having such a hard time accepting it. And then we tend to go, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? What did I do? And we just try endlessly to make sense of it. And so now what I teach now is stop doing that. Just accept the fact that there's a good reason for it and that you never know the outcome. A lot of times when we're frustrated or denied something that we really, really want now and we feel really bad about it and we feel like, that something horrible has happened, it turns out to have been the greatest blessing in our lives. And that happened to me on a couple of occasions where something that seemingly horrible happened and it actually facilitated a connection or a new job or something like that that just changed my entire life. So I've learned that lesson kind of the hard way, that you never really know whether something is horrible or not. And so it behooves us to entertain some new beliefs about it, that everything happens for a reason, even if I don't know what it is, and I can, my timing is going to become more perfect the more intuitive and more accepting I become in terms of how I manage change. So really, it's all about managing change, because change is the one thing that never stops, and it's the one constant in life, ironically, is change. And what the I Ching means in English is Book of Changes. It's the original change management system. By the way, I have a Western version of the I Ching, but it's only out in ebook format. It's also out in the form of an app called the Visionary I Ching app for iPhone and Google phones. And it's doing very well. It's actually a lot of fun, although it's a very authentic treatment of the I Ching. And also, like you mentioned before, I want to make a gift here on the show today to you and all of your listeners, because I'm honored to be here and I'm grateful. And I just want to give back. And so I want to offer a free electronic version of my Great Decisions Perfect Timing book to anyone who's listening who wants to go to a private web page for that reason, which is divination.com/freebook. And free book is all one word. So divination.com/freebook. It's a private page. There's no navigation to it. And any of your listeners or friends who go there within the next couple of weeks or so will be able to download a free Kindle, iPad, or PDF version of Great Decisions, Perfect Timing if they sign up for our newsletter. And our newsletter only comes out every quarter, and it's easy to unsubscribe from. We don't, we're totally in integrity around the whole email thing. But so if people want to go to divination.com/freebook, they can get a copy of the book we've been talking about today. And, of course, it's for sale in paperback form on Amazon. So I just wanted to offer that to you and the show.
Well, first, thank you so much. I know our listeners are going to be thrilled I will say this, is that, you know, one of the big things we did talk about in this was perfect timing. And if I had, you know, my way in the perfect timing of my day, I think I'd talk to you for about 4 or 5 hours and do the longest show I've ever done, because I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying you sharing this work of yours and this book, Greatest Decisions, Perfect Timing, and Great Decisions, Perfect Timing, Cultivating Intuitive Intelligence. Absolutely love this work that you're doing. And I find that it's something that people really need. You know, we all need help of knowing what and when in our life. And you know, the O'Brien Law, you have to absolutely love that one. So what wonderful things we've learned today. And I thank you so much, Paul, for coming on and sharing your gift and your message to not only my listeners, but everybody that comes in contact with you, because I can see that there's a light that shines in you that just speaking with you, I'm sure everybody will feel it through this show. And I feel very blessed that you made the decision and came on the Sharpen Your Spirit podcast here. So thank you so much. Is there any one last thing that you would like to leave our listeners?
Well, other than thanking you for having me on the show, Cindy, and for having the show Sharpen the Spirit in the first place, it's so in alignment with what I care about, and I just really appreciate it. And I guess if I was going to leave one last little thought for the listeners that's related to my story and also to the whole function of visionary decision-making, it has to do with risk-taking. And I always like to remind myself to take the risks that grow you. And that's, if you take the risks that grow you, you can't lose, even if things don't turn out exactly the way you imagined.
Absolutely. Isn't that so true? I mean, sometimes we'll take a risk, and you know how this works, Paul, because boy, you took a huge risk on, you know, to taking, you know, software and the I Ching and trying to put them together. That, you know, that was a huge risk in your life. And, you know, it's obviously worked out quite well for you. But, you know, we often take risks, and sometimes the road feels pretty rocky, or it feels like a struggle, or even we'll get to the end of that path and there'll be a nice big fat brick wall. But we'll turn to the right or we'll turn to the left, and we'll end up right where we're supposed to be. And that certainly comes around to your, you know, beautiful message about perfect timing. So thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you.
It's been a blessing to meet you. So everybody, it's Great Decisions, Perfect Timing, Cultivating Intuitive Intelligence. You can get it on Amazon.com, or you can download it for free, a beautiful gift from Paul today, and that is at divination.com. That is divination.com/free book, all one word. That is the end of our show today. And boy, what a beautiful show we had. We want to again thank Paul, and we want to remind you that, you know, if there's a place in your life that you're looking to move forward in a bigger way, open your heart a little bit more. Maybe you have a mission like Paul has his mission. Maybe there's something that you want to do and you're just feeling pulled, or you're feeling pulled, or you're feeling called to this, you know, beautiful work. Whatever it is, it's okay. Allow yourself to get out there. So this is the Sharpening Your Spirit podcast. If you need any information about Sharpening Your Spirit, please go to sharpeningyourspirit.com. We thank you so much for joining us, and you know how we end the show, always the same way. Love, light, and a big kiss. Have a beautiful day, and we will see you soon.